I want to introduce to the program right now Donald Mann, the CEO and president of Right Man Consulting. He has a BA in chemistry pre-med and an MA in science education biochemistry, both from East Carolina University, and the author of OK God, Now What?, and co-author in The Law of Business Attraction. For more details, you can go to covenantpeaceministries.com and learn more about him. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just great, Jeremiah. Good to talk to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so the question here, political slogans. I mean, we are in the midst, once again, of the most important election, and we hear this all the time. I mean, this is a slogan, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important election of our lifetime. We heard it every year. But the question is here, do political slogans work? And, you know, this is an important thing because I think a lot of people might just chalk it up as, well, they don't work, and a lot of people might say they work too much. What do you say?
Okay, the political slogans are really part of a major advertising campaign. Today it's being run by the top marketing specialists and scientists associated with Madison Avenue, and it is highly focused on getting people to vote for the particular person that whoever the target, you know, the slogans are for. And it taps into the best of science of understanding how the mind works in order to manipulate people into doing what they want them to do. The answer is, do they work? Well, I guess the simplest way to say it is that they should work, and they do have an effect. I don't know that anybody's ever measured exactly how much, but what they have determined is that if you run a positive campaign with no negative material, you won't get reelected if the other guy runs negative material. So most political programs are run by basically 5% positive and 95% negative material, you know, mudslinging, bashing the other guy's programs or failures or whatever, and that's what gets people elected.
Now, why is that? You know, why is it that with that positive ads, because, you know, maybe it's just idealism, maybe, you know, it's this kind of utopian idea that, well, I don't want to be negative, and you hear this a lot. It's like, well, I'm keeping it clean. But really, when you look at the whole landscape, you find it, like you said, about 95% is extraordinarily negative. But why is it that it's so effective?
Well, I think that the basic of reason is that the negative material is to tap into the deep-seated, rooted fears that are in people. And if they can get you to operate by fear, then when you go into fear, you quit thinking creatively. You quit thinking logically. You respond, your emotions are triggered, and you're only operating on emotion of fear. And it's not so much as voting for your favorite candidate, it's making sure you don't vote for the other guy because you're operating out of fear. And so the whole idea is, in general, to paint a picture of it so bad if the other guy wins, I'm your savior, I'm the right guy, vote for me.
Now, when you bring this up, you say, you know, that you know, that guy's a bad guy, I'm the savior. And, you know, I know that, you know, I listen to a lot of talk radio, right and left, and I have my agreements and disagreements with both sides. But it's very easy, maybe one of the slogans is to paint Obama as if he's the only one playing that game, that he's the savior. But are you indicating that this is kind of across the board?
It's across the board because that's the purpose of the negative advertising. In other words, the negative advertising that goes on is designed to freeze your brain so you don't think. Okay, and you're going to respond purely on emotion, and you're going to reject or rebel against the negative things that are being said. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. And so that's the way it works. I mean, that's what's actually happening. The science of it is all been the newest and latest discoveries in the last 15 years about how the brain works, how the mind processes information, how people think. It's all being leveraged within this massive advertising campaign we call political campaigning.
You know, I just finished reading a book not long ago called The Righteous Mind, Why Good People Are Divided Over Religion and Politics, and or How They're Divided Over Religion and Politics, and it's by Jonathan Haidt, and he goes to describe human nature in a way where he says, you know, that we're 90% chimp, 10% bee, but I think the deeper point is he says that we are like an elephant, that we're largely intuitive, our nature is, and that we respond by emotions first and then to reason second. And do you think that's a pretty fair appraisal that with slogans that they're trying to tap in to that elementary, that root nature that we have that responds first to intuitions and things of this nature, fears and emotions and everything else, and then says, you know, vote for me, here's why?
Well, actually, I would describe it differently, although depends how deep you get into the science of what's been discovered so far, how the brain works. In the normal basis of everyday living, we operate 95% in our subconscious mind, which your conscious mind is not aware of it, that it's going on. But you respond with thoughts and emotions sent from the subconscious to the cognitive or aware mind. And depending on the other aspects of what's going on in the environment, this is how you work and how you operate. When you see it at a peak level is, for example, when you see, well, a good example would be Michael Phelps 4 years ago when he won the Olympics, when his goggles were filled full of water, he couldn't see. He actually had memorized, visualized for years what the race was like. He actually ran his visualized race. He wasn't even responding to what was going on around him. And he won the gold medal based on what it took like to feel and experience from that kind of thing. So it was entirely a subconscious event in terms of what he did. When you see a top-performing athlete and their mind and their body are in complete harmony together, then they operate automatically. When you saw Captain Scully take the airplane and landed in the Hudson River safely, he did that almost automatically, because it was all he'd been for years training his subconscious mind how to respond to those events. When they did, he followed his training. So to call it intuitive is, I wouldn't know how to use that word and apply it, but to be able to say that the subconscious mind, he had done some heart writing, they programmed it so that when those events occur, that he reacted that way. I was reading the other day about it, baseball, that when somebody throws a fastball, it gets to the leaves the pitcher's hand and arrives at the batter in 0.4 seconds. Well, the fastest that the human mind can receive and transmit the information is 0.5 seconds. So the batter can't even see the ball he's swinging at in terms of his cognitive mind. But as he's been trained his subconscious mind, he can hit the ball.
That's remarkable. When talking about political ads and specifically negative ones, I mean, we're in Michigan, and I remember when the primaries were running through here, every single day I would go out to the mailbox. In fact, I started dreading it. I would go out there, and I knew I had these mass mailers from super PACs and everything else, and they were very negative. What do you think the power is? I mean, is it sufficient, or are they just doing it enough to then not have to really push a positive message? They do enough with the negative and just enough with the positive to make it work. I mean, chemistry here?
I think the balance that they've decided works. I mean, every 2 years there's an election of some kind somewhere. And these guys look at this stuff, and they've determined that 95% negative and 5% positive is about what it takes to win. And so the real issue is, who does it work on, okay? I mean, you can be manipulated and controlled by the slogan process, or you can reach your own considered decisions of why you're doing what you're doing that aren't overrun with emotion. And the only kind of people that can do the latter, not be controlled by their emotions like that, are those who have a strong self-identity. The stronger your self-identity, the less you're manipulated and controlled by the advertising campaign, whether it's the political ones or it's Madison Avenue trying to sell you a new car or something. So the net effect is that the stronger your self-identity is, the more you're able to resist it and make considered decisions.
Now, how does this play out in group identity politics? I mean, we've got the partisan scheme is so thick right now. I mean, I believe the estimate they said that over nearly 50% of our country right now has landslide districts, where it's just we're segregating by lifestyle almost and political ideology. How do slogans play into that kind of group identity, whether with party or with class or with race or anything like that?
Well, what happens is that your mind, your subconscious mind, is receiving information 24/7, all of your life. If you aren't controlling what it's receiving, then you are going to be subject to what's ever been in your environment and whatever's passing along for information in that regard. You know, a classic example of doing that is when they take soldiers and put them in the military and put them into boot camp. They control their environment. They control what they do. And the entire purpose of military boot camp in the United States is so that when you send a soldier into combat, he has a 75% chance of survival the first 3 days of combat. Okay, that's the, so they've determined what it takes to provide that kind of reliability for a soldier in combat, and it's an immersion environment, controlling the environment and filling them with you know, focused, limited views on what to do, and it's, you know, we're pretty successful at doing that and making the soldiers very effective in what they're doing. The same thing happens with the radio, the television, your friends, what they're talking about doing. So when you associate with a group of people, you're going to fill in and receive that same kind of heart writing from the group that you're with, whatever you identify with. And that process goes on all the time.
You know, I wish we had more time. We've got about a minute left here. Maybe we can get together some time and do a radio interview where we can make it available to our listeners. But in the last minute here, you know, what would you advise people, I mean, who feel overwhelmed by this, who get so frustrated? What kind of word would you give to them, and then just kind of a final closing word? We've got about a minute.
Okay, what I would tell people to do is, number one, go to the Internet, go to OKGodNowWhat.com, and on there they can get a list of top 10 affirmations for free that they can download and use that to replace the thinking that's going on around them, so that they can encourage themselves and build up their own self-identity into a stronger position so that they can make better decisions. That would be the first thing that I would tell them to do. The second thing is to look at things and try to find the positives. And when you start to feel afraid, you have to do replacement. Think differently. Again, the top 10 affirmations I give for free at OKGodNowWhat.com.
All righty. Thank you so much. We've been talking to Donald Mann, CEO and President of Right Man Consulting. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, Donald. And, you know, I would really love to extend this conversation further, maybe a different time instead of a phone interview, make it longer, and go deeper into these issues. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day.
Oh, look forward to it. Have a great day, Jeremiah.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Back, my friends, right after this.